Welcome to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast, your home for insights and insider knowledge about hypnotic change work. With your hosts, control practitioners and hypnotists, Nicole Mazzucato and Anthony Gitch.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Hypnotic Healers. My name is Nicole Mazzucato, and I am here with my fabulous co-host, Anthony Gitch, who is all the way on the other side of the pond, far, far away from me as we sit here at the moment. Our usual disclaimer, neither Anthony nor I are licensed medical professionals, doctors, psychologists or psychiatrists or anything of the sort. So please do not make any changes to any treatments or medications that you are on based on the conversation you hear here today. Take what you like and leave the rest. And while you're leaving stuff, you might as well leave us a review, a like, a love, a thumbs up, a heart, share us about, show us to your friends. Hey, you might even drop us a message to say how great we are and how awesome and fabulous you think this podcast is. Hello, Anthony.
Hello. Welcome back. Thank you, dear. And it's interesting because, yes, we do want you to like and share us and say something because that gets more people to recognize that we're here. And hopefully we're getting you information that is helping you live a more successful life. Whether it's emotionally or relationship-wise or whatever it may be. You know, I mean, that's what we're here to do, is to try to help everybody have a better experience.
And can I just say, you know, as a little milestone here, this is our 62nd episode.
Woohoo!
That's we're doing well. Hey, we put one out a week every week for 62 weeks.
I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's because we're pretty awesome.
I think so. I think we're pretty darn good people.
Indeed. Indeed. So today we want to talk about the idea of fluid thinking or flexibility in thinking. I think this potentially could be quite a big conversation. And I think there will be a lot of people that have their own opinions and ideas on what this is, what this means. I don't know that fluid thinking is actually a term. It was just kind of what came to mind when we started talking about it. But
a
I bit think
of flexibility, it, that flexibility and being able to just change, you know, and it should be. It should be a term, fluid thinking, because I want to believe that that is how I respond to things. You know, that I'm able to recognize in the moment that I need to do something possibly different or look at something differently and change the direction of flow, right?
Yeah. And just before we were talking, it was interesting. You were saying that some people
some people consider fluid thinking what we would call fluid thinking or flexibility. Some people call that being wishy-washy. And I was saying that, you know, for example, one of my exes thought that I was very wishy-washy in my thinking because, and they put a negative connotation to the idea of being flexible and fluid, right? Because to him, not being staunch enough, strong enough to stand for those things that I said. And I'm like, there are some things that I believe are my core beliefs, and I'm going to stand there and say it within my integrity that this is what I believe, and that's not immovable or that's immovable. But a majority of the thoughts that I have and the beliefs that I have are very, very fluid. They're very flexible because I want to be that way because I want to make sure that I'm open to other people's experiences and their ways of looking at things, because I'm not, this is just my eyes, right? Mm. What about all of the other things that are being considered that I'm not privy to in the moment, you know, that I'm not recognizing in the moment. And I want to be open to that. I want to be fluid and wishy-washy, as he would call it. I was proud of that. It's like, I've got new information. I can change my way of thinking. I'm not so stuck in my ego that I need to be right.
Right. And that's it. There's a great book that I listened to a while ago. Did I listen to it or read it? I can't remember. Adam Grant, Think Again. And it's very much about this idea of fluid thinking, debate, the needing, you know, when people need to be right, or just allowing an idea, somebody else's idea. As you were saying, you get new information. Why are you so closed off to the idea that your current thinking might not be right, or might not be, you know, when you get new information, adapt your thinking. Mm-hmm. And allowing yourself, giving yourself permission to do that. You don't need to be stuck in your ways as, I have this one truth and that's it for life.
Right, right. It's like when I've been a trainer, and you've been a trainer before, and one of the things that is always, when I was a corporate trainer, oh, well, at my last job, you're not at your last job, right? Yeah. You got fired, right? You're at this job now, learning it this way.
Yeah.
I don't care how it was at your last job.
Mm.
Right? And people, well, my last ex. Well, okay, so you're suggesting I'm already your ex later days. idiots. Language is a big thing to me these days, especially, and even back then, you know, that idea that this is the way it used to be and I can't change it.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah, it's that familiarity thing, isn't it? What's mm-hmm. what's familiar is comfortable, what's unfamiliar is uncomfortable. And people, I think, prefer to stick in this, stay in this idea of what's familiar because it feels safe.
Yes.
And my familiar thinking. And also, if I think a certain way, I belong to a certain group.
Well, and not only that, but even if the way of thinking doesn't provide safety, it is still what I know.
Yeah.
And so if it's at least what I know, then I can deal with it. Right.
Yeah, I can be safe in my knowledge.
Right. That I'm in this abusive relationship. I'm safe in how this is going to play out because at least I know that this is what's going to happen.
And
that kind of thinking can get people stuck in a lot of really bad places.
Mm. So something that I have adopted recently, because this idea of fluid thinking, I have very much worked on having flexibility in my thinking and not being too attached to my ideas or what I think I know. Because at the end of the day, everything can be proven or disproven, right? Even science will kind of change its ideas, change its theories as they develop and gain new insight and new information. So why shouldn't we also be willing to do that with our minds and the information that we do or don't gather? And I've been on a mission for many years to unlearn a lot of the unhelpful stuff that I learned when I was maybe growing up or at school and things like that. And very much kind of unlearning those unhelpful thought patterns or ways of thinking that I had for a long time. And I'm sure I'm still undoing stuff like that, right?
Well, aren't but we some, all?
Yeah, yeah. I remember when I was in my very early 20s and I was traveling and I had a couch surfing account and it was like, you know, put something about you. And I'd literally put unlearning all of the crap that I was taught, you know, when I was growing up. And a guy who was a teacher got in touch with me. He's like, hey, I'm a teacher. I was like, yeah. And, you know, it doesn't mean everything you're teaching is gospel or even right. It's just information.
Right.
So the way that I'm approaching things very much recently is saying, people ask me my opinion about something and I'll say to you, okay, this is how I think today. This is what I think in this moment. This is the answer that I can give you right now. If you were to ask me again tomorrow, in a week, in a year, in 5 years, my answer might be completely different. It might be the same. I don't know.
Right. I like that because it's that's how I feel a lot of times, because people will say, well, that's not what you said about that a few years ago when you were teaching about, you know, archetypes, for example. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I've learned some more things. I've experienced a few things differently now. And so I have a different level of understanding, which has provided me an opportunity to expand. And to open up a little bit more when I didn't know I even needed to.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I think back to maybe some kind of earlier episodes of the podcast or you know, posts that I've put out and stuff. And again, it's this idea of, I wouldn't want somebody to listen to that and think, oh, you know, that's your truth. You've said that, so that must be what you think. Maybe in the moment, that was something that occurred to me.
Right.
Maybe if you were to ask me the same question today, I'd have a different answer. Look at all of the people that we've spoken to, all of the new information. I've changed over this past year, you know, from 62 weeks ago, I'm a different person.
Absolutely. So, well, I mean, you know, and it's like the way that I'm so opinionated about regression work and about that kind of stuff. But here's the deal. I also recognize there are times that I come across really, really staunch about that. And there's times that I'm like, I do appreciate and understand that there are people that that's the way that they want to work and that, you know, that is good for them and it works for them and their clients because that's their realm, right?
Yeah.
And it, so it's like, that's that fluid thing. These people like, well, you're either on or off. And it's like, no, I'm not either on or off. I live in a very gray area.
Yeah.
And I think that that's okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's okay as well, because when you're too kind of, you know, militant in your ideas and so fixed and closed in your ideas, you very much limit yourself. You put yourself into a box and you're like, this is my box. This is my world. There is nothing else outside, no other truth outside of this.
Right.
And so you limit yourself completely.
And how which can maybe, you help? Yeah, go ahead.
Which maybe some people need to do. Again, it goes back to this kind of safety thing, right? I'm accepted by a certain group because I think this way, or, you know, my family, I'm safe inside my family and my family accept me because I think this way, because this is who I identify with. This is how I maintain my circle of safety, if you like.
Right. This is my playground. This is where I'm allowed to explore. These are my boundaries within this reality with these people. And I mean, it's even like within different industries. Look at how different even with hypnosis, right? I mean, there is these groups, these segments that will break themselves off into these almost like factions of thought and belief. And they'll sometimes even come to verbal blows because, no, that way is the wrong way. And, you know... Yeah.
I think it's interesting. But, I mean, how many times or how many stories are there, endless stories about people that have, you know, gone to infiltrate a particular group and have managed to crack one person. I say crack in the sense of, you know, connect with that person and help them realize. There was one particular, I think it was a documentary that was maybe made into a film about a black guy who... and I'm sure this is not just one story, who made friends with a guy from the KKK. And this guy was like a leader of the KKK. I can't remember, but it was based on a true story. And this guy was like a leader of a chapter of the KKK. And they ended up becoming friends. Right. And because this guy was so fixed in his thinking, so fixed in the way of his group and the safety of his group, that at that time couldn't see outside of that box, right? And then started to connect with this other guy and see that actually, oh, you're not exactly everything I thought you were. And it's like Tony Robbins in one of his books, I think it's Awaken the Giant Within. He describes beliefs as like a table with four legs. And as soon as one of those legs gets kind of wobbly or kicked in, the table can't stand up anymore.
Right.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Because I've had conversations with, you know, with clients, with friends, where you're having a debate. And I've got a couple of friends that are very, very fixed in their ways of thinking. But then we get into these debates and I love to actually, like, I can see it happening inside their head. The little leg just kind of comes crashing down. And then they're like, oh, hang on, wait. And they're recalibrating as their mind just goes, what the fuck just happened?
Yes. I love being. And isn't that what we do for our clients, though?
Yeah.
Well, you know?
It is. It's all about, you know, so much of what we do is coaching as well as hypnosis. And really, the whole package is about helping people change their perspective. It's breaking down old beliefs, unlearning the unhelpful stuff, and relearning or re-educating with something that's more helpful and more up to date for that person.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we talk about, okay, we've been talking about people stuck inside little boxes potentially, and not seeing anything else. Sometimes they've not actually been given the opportunity to see anything else.
Right.
And that's why the thinking is so rigid. And it's scary to consider a different way of thinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, when you've lived inside of a bubble, you know, and You know, it's like you were telling me a story about one of the young people at one of the schools that you worked at one point, where she had so much, they just got so much money that they were just leaving behind laptops and, you know, thousands of dollars worth of stuff, because it's not a big deal. Right? Because there's no value to it. And that kind of a bubble, living inside of that kind of a bubble, what is the experience going to be later on if all of that's removed and that ability is removed, right? Mm. You know, what kind of damage does this do when you live inside of a bubble like that, even that kind of a bubble?
Yeah, absolutely. And the fall from that is hard, isn't it? It's a hard landing when you fall from that sort of thing, when you've been so rigid and in that kind of bubble, in that bubble of thinking, the fall can be hard.
Mm-hmm.
And not just for the person, right? The person that's going through the change. And, you know, some of the clients that I'm working with, when we're doing really kind of deep change work, and this is really kind of life-changing stuff, I often say to them, there will probably be people in your life that will not appreciate the changes that you're going through, because they're not used to it. They're not used to this version of you. They're not used to you thinking this way or feeling this way or expressing yourself in this way.
Right. So and you have to be prepared, because that's going to be, we want to please the people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even in CODA, we used to talk about that all the time. You know, you have to make sure that it's going to change. It's going to change all of your relationships when you change something, because they're used to you being a certain way.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not about them. It's about how you manage, you know, how you mm-hmm. manage your change. And you might outgrow some people temporarily, permanently. Who knows? You know, it may be that you need a kind of temporary kind of distancing from certain people, and then eventually you'll find your way back to them. Or it may be that you've just come to the end of the road with that person because you're outgrowing them.
Yep. Reason, so, season, or lifetime, they say, right?
Sorry, say that again.
Reason, season, or lifetime.
And that they, reason, they, season, or lifetime.
Right, with friends, with people. There's a reason they've come into your life. There's a season they've come into your life, or there's, you know, they'll be in your life for a reason, a season or a lifetime, yeah.
Oh, I like that. I've not heard that before. Oh, I like that, yeah. Yeah, so I do talk about this with clients, very much so. Especially, like I say, especially the ones that we're going through some really deep shifting work.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I mean, you know, one of the things, and I think I've said this before, when we begin to open up to that flexible idea, as we start to work with our clients and they start to experience change because of these insights, because of this work, they start to they will have physical experiences that are different than what their normal experiences of moving through the world are. And that, I think, is not something that they are oftentimes aware of, because they're not told that this is going to be happening. And so then they think, well, maybe they shouldn't be doing this, or it starts to make them question what they're doing and that sort of thing. And so I think it's important to, you know, help them and remind them that, you know, it's completely natural when we begin to change one thing, the physiology changes as well. It might be slight, but our physiology changes. We're using new neural pathways. We're using new neural connections. With that is a new chemical signature, right, for things that are happening within our body. And so it's completely natural. And they need to be prepared for that. Right. And I think that oftentimes they're not prepared for it. And so then they look at that as a negative, and then they go back to old behaviors, because at least that didn't feel this way.
Yeah. You, as you're speaking, you're reminding me of collateral healing.
Yes.
You know, it's that kind of, we work on one thing and so many other dominoes just kind of, you know, realign themselves naturally. We haven't even worked on those things, but, you know, how many times does a client come back to you and say, well, it's really weird, you know, this happened and this happened. And I always go back to a particular example of a client that we were working came to me and we were working on like aggressive behavior and things like that, kind of he was having a lot of problems with his colleagues. Came back after one or two sessions, we're like, well, it's so strange because I've stopped smoking, I've started going to the gym and working with a personal trainer, I've changed the way that I'm eating, I'm kind of communicating better with my family and stuff, and all of these, you know, all of these things just suddenly changed. We talked about it, we had not touched on them, like we weren't working on those things, right. And his mind had just gone, hey, well, self-love and self-care must mean doing all of these other things,
right? All and of it just fell into place.
Yeah, it just fell into place, and it was a really fascinating process to watch, and it happens with a lot of clients. But again, it's the mind, right? Once once you see something from a different perspective, your mind understands that there's other things that can be seen from a different perspective as well.
Yeah, it opens up what the possibilities could be.
Yeah.
And when we start to discover or we start to be open to possibilities, then, you know, and that's an odd thing to say, open to possibilities. Mm. But how many people have you run across that the idea of possibilities is not something that is within their current way of being able to look at the world, right? Mm. Because all they see is what's not working in the world, what's wrong with it, what's broken, all of, you know, and so the idea of possibility doesn't contain anything that is positive or worth really kind of moving towards, right? Or even being willing to look at, because what's the point anyway? Look at how horrible it all is, right? And so there's that aspect of it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm also led to as this conversation is developing, things that are coming up for me, growth versus fixed mindset. And again, it's that kind of mindset way of thinking, you know, if you are so fixed in your way of thinking, and if you've got this fixed mindset, very much tends to be the victim mentality. You know, everything happens to me and I have little control over it, right? Whereas when you're in that kind of more growth and fluid mindset and way of thinking, it's like, okay, well, maybe this is happening around me, for me. I can see the bigger picture here maybe, and I can take a learning from it as I move forward. Dr. Carol Dweck's book, Mindset, is a brilliant, brilliant book, and I really recommend it. I think she was the one that coined the term growth and fixed mindset. And the book is definitely worth a read. And I also highly recommend Adam Grant's book.
Right on. You'll have to check him out. I haven't, you know, the last really good book I read was the, Johann Hari.
Excellent book.
Yeah, that's been a while. It's been a year since I've sat down and just, well, no, I guess that's not true. I guess anyway, it doesn't matter.
There's in a train station in Brazil, there's this beautiful thing. It's just kind of, somebody's just kind of written it on the side of a book exchange. And it says, books don't change the world. Books change people. People change the world.
Oh, and
it's just really lovely. You know, it's just that idea that it's ideas that fuel people to take action, to do something different, right? That maybe inspires you and gives you that oomph to say, actually, I'm gonna do something about this, or I'm gonna do something different because I've learned something new that's sparked an element of my mind that wants to really take this and run with it.
Right. I think that I think that people that are more interested in exploring and reading and continuing their education in different areas, whether it's hobbies or anything like that, I think those folks generally tend to be more kind of open-minded because they're always on that next thing that's going to be interesting to them. Mm. And that kind of approach to thing, you know, that ability to look at that, you know, one of the archetypes that we all have is the child archetype. And, you know, the light side of that child archetype is being able to look at the world through with the eyes of wonderment and just being kind of amazed at everything. And to me, that's almost the same idea. You know, being able to just look at the world and go, wow, look at that, just, you know, for what it is without any judgment. You know, and I think that that's an open mind. I mean, that's a completely...
Yeah, curiosity, the concept of curiosity, just being curious rather than being stuck in something and just asking lots of different questions. I ask a lot of questions.
I like questions, yes.
I really, you know, I really like, and I like to understand things, and I like to understand how somebody else thinks about something. Mm-hmm. So I'll ask a lot of questions. And this idea of curiosity, it keeps, you know, it keeps being thrown around in kind of places that I'm moving. And this idea of just be curious, just be curious. What is that? What's going on there? What's
right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's that whole conversational, that piece of conversational hypnosis, right? Of being able to recognize those little things and go, now what is that all about?
Yeah.
And let's look at that for a minute.
We may have talked about that with James Brown as well when we were talking about playfulness. And again, he brought that very much into that playful hypnosis training weekend of just being curious. We're just playing here. It doesn't matter. And I think the great thing about that weekend, that training, was like, we're just playing to see what happens. And it was very much like, we're just going to play. We're just going to play a game and see what happens, and just get into that playful state with me, you know, get into that state, that childlike state of curiosity and playfulness and wonder and amazement, and let's see what happens. And just kind of removing that need to be the hypnotist, you know, like.
So the other day I was talking to my friend Craig McKay, who's been on the show before, and we were talking about the removing the need to be the hypnotist, right? That ability to not be the professional, the guy that has all the answers, the person behind the desk with, you know, on the pedestal, but rather sitting there with them and being with them. And just when I'm with my clients, I am so laid back. You know, I don't treat them any differently than I would a friend. Right? I treat everybody that way. I'm sarcastic with everybody. I'm flippant with everybody. And when I recognize that maybe I've gone too far or I've said something I shouldn't have said, I immediately step up and then I'm like, oop, okay, well, I can see that I went a little too far with that. I won't do that again. I apologize if I offended you in any way. And they're like, oh, that's okay. Right? And then we just move on. Right? And so I never place myself in a position with these people that I'm going to do this to you and it's going to be this. It's more of a, let's have fun. Let's do this journey and let's see what we can do.
Yeah. 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 And I think, you know, I think that's a really good, it's almost a good, what's the word? A good approach for life, right?
Yeah.
Let's just be open and have fun and see where this goes. And it may be that we completely disagree on something, and that's, it's to have opposite opinions on something, because you're seeing something that maybe I'm not, and I'm seeing something that you're not, and maybe five other people are all seeing it in a completely different way.
Right.
You know,
look at the telephone game.
Yeah. Chinese whispers, we call it. I mean, when I'm mentoring students, hypnosis students, and we're talking about the intake and kind of developing this picture of what the client wants, I'm like, you have got to ask them open questions that are going to help them paint that picture for you. Because even if they've given you something to go on, so for example, I want to control my drinking. That's going to mean something completely different to me than to you, than to them, than to 10 other different people. It's what the client wants, not what you want.
Right.
So you need to be able to ask them the right questions in the way that you're going to get the picture that they want, not the one that you think it should be.
Right. Right. And it's all about the correct kind of questions, because sometimes they don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They think that they're looking for one thing. And then through the questions that you start to ask them, they're like, oh, that's not really what it was. Holy crap. It's this all along. Wow. Mm-hmm. And even that insight, oftentimes help to loosen and remove rocks, right? Mm-hmm. And which allows then the wheel to turn.
And
even that's fun when that happens. Kind of sucks when it happens in a consultation and you lose the client, but you know, whatever.
I mean, I've talked about this before, having a consultation or two with somebody whose mind is, you know, their mind is so closed and they're so rigid in their way of thinking. They almost refuse to see anything else.
That's a resistance. Now that's what I would call a resistant client. Because someone was saying the other day, "Oh, I'm resistant clients." I'm like, I don't believe in that unless that's the situation. That would be a resistant client.
Yeah, and it's also a mindset, isn't it? It's like, no, this is the way that I think. This is my version and my vision of the world. There is nothing else. What the fuck are you coming to me for then?
Right. They want something. They want the magic fingers to click, and all of a sudden they don't think that way anymore, and they don't have to take responsibility for not having to think that way anymore.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't have to fight this inner battle that I'm having. It's just going to go away.
Yeah. It's like I said to you last time, I just wanted somebody to crack my head open and rewire it for me.
Right.
Maybe not, but that idea of somebody else being responsible for doing the rewiring rather than you having to put in the effort and the work to, you know, untangle that shit yourself.
Right.
So this idea of taking responsibility for untangling your own wires, right? And when you are so rigid in your thinking, I think it's there is an element of not taking responsibility.
Well, yeah, because it allows you to stay when you're that rigid. It gives you an excuse to point out why they're wrong. It's that it gives the permission for someone to be a jerk in their own mind.
Right.
I think.
Right. There's also an argument. You just said the word, but there's also the argument that nobody's wrong.
Right.
Nobody's wrong, and potentially nobody's right about anything ever. Right. We're just regurgitating stuff that we've seen, heard, and been exposed to, and latched onto the things that kind of resonate a bit more with us.
Yeah,
but it doesn't mean that we're right about anything. And
those really big sorts of questions.
But that can also be quite scary, can't it? This idea of like, I know nothing. Nothing I know is true or real. It just is
it's just what I know.
Yeah.
See, I don't think that's scary.
No, I don't think
that gives
scary
me more
either.
Permission. I think that gives me more permission to be more human and to make mistakes and to not punish myself for those mistakes and to be understanding and acceptable and gentle with myself when I do something that isn't maybe in my best interest, you know what I mean? Or something like that. I think that we're all way too hard on ourselves.
Yeah, for sure. And that's another reason why I find languages so fascinating, because you get a real insight into the way the culture think, like there's a different thinking with different languages. And I don't know that my personality changes, but I've definitely got a persona as such with each language that I speak. So like when I'm angry, I'll start like going nuts in Argentinian Spanish. and that's just kind of like I kind of step into that persona, if you like. And I noticed that I'm currently in the UK. I'm in England, and I am slightly different because I use different language, and so I connect with different people in different ways. Whereas if I'm in Spain, again, it's a different kind of culture. Maybe I communicate in a slightly different way, and so I connect with people in a different way. Language like that is. I think you have to be fluid in your thinking to be able to learn different languages and communicate in different languages, but in that real kind of on a real base kind of cultural level, not just I'm just scratching the surface to ask, you know, how much is that?
Right. It's like when my aunt, I love my aunt to death, and she is a linguist by all definitions. And it was funny because when she was married to the Italian guy that she was married to, when she would get angry, like you, she would go right into Italian. And I mean, she's so fluid in the languages that she speaks that it was just like, you would just be like, whoa. And she's amazing because she speaks 13 languages.
Wow.
She was a tour guide when she was in her 20s, back in the 60s and the 70s, you know. And she, amazing woman. Absolutely amazing woman.
To be fair, I've just said something and I'm going to have to retract what I said. I've just said that I think you have to be fluid in your way of thinking when you know multiple languages. That's not true, because I do know people that aren't. They have a very fixed mindset. So
really? Because I've always wanted to learn Japanese has been one that I've always been interested in. Mm. I'm really interested in Portuguese now.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in
Because
Portuguese.
There's a band called Sophie Tucker that you really like that sings in Portuguese.
I don't care. Go ahead, make fun of me. I don't care.
I'm not making fun of you, Antonia.
I want to speak French too. Parlez-vous français?
I can understand.
But I want a little beret, and I want to run around Paris in short, tight black jeans that are like above my ankles and a pair of sandals, you know, with a little tie around my neck.
Talk about stereotyping. Paris is beautiful.
I can't wait. Our friend Tim and his lovely wife Britt are going to be there soon at the opening of the Marvel at Disneyland. I'm so excited for them.
But isn't that another thing? Meeting people that are, you know, meeting different people and hearing about their interests and their lives and judgment. I think judgment is such a big part of what we're talking about here, right?
Yes, absolutely.
We judge a lot, and we judge things that are not familiar to us.
Right.
Right. So, you know, I don't know. Let's take them as an example. They love Disneyland.
Right. I think it's so awesome.
It is. It's cool. And I love how much they own it, right? They just like, yeah, we go to Disneyland like 3 or 4 times a year or maybe more. And I'm like, that's awesome. I don't know that I'd ever do that because I don't know what I'd get out of Disneyland, you know, that many times a year. But they love it. And I think that's brilliant. But again, we do judge, right? We judge what is different.
Yep.
And that very much, I think the judgments, what comes first, the thought or the judgment?
Well, you know, here's the thing. This is where we can work and practice on things. I know it's one of the biggest things I've been working on ever since my early 30s, because I was always extremely right off the bat judgmental, and I'm still catching myself at times. But is what I do is I look at what other people are doing and I try to look at the celebration piece of it, right? It's like with me with karaoke. I don't even want to sit and watch other people do karaoke because I'm embarrassed for them, right? But here's the thing. I don't care if they are the worst person up there. I'm going to get up and I'm going to stand behind that person because, goddammit, they had the balls to get up there. I don't. Right. And so I'm going to celebrate the fact that they're having a good time because that's what they're there for. Right. And I learned that if I celebrate what other people find interesting, that it helps me to have just a better time with life.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. Yeah. For sure.
And I really always work on that. And it's like when I'm watching people win something on TV or whatever, it's just, I really get happy when I see that stuff. Because I just, that's what, I love that energy. I just love the energy. I love the fact that they get to feel that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that the more that we do that with other people, even people we don't know or have a relationship with, that that we tend to lighten up on ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And I a big part of this is in terms of relationships is learning how to communicate what you're thinking. You know,
absolutely.
I think we think that our partner or the people around us, especially our partners, we put a lot of pressure, I think, on our partners to be able to read our minds and to just know what we're thinking. But they don't, you know. Even I think in the beginning of a relationship, when you're in that synergy and you can finish each other's sentences and things like that, but you can never know what somebody's thinking all the time. And so how can they know what you're thinking? And a big part of healthy relationships is being able to articulate and communicate your thoughts and your thought processes.
Right.
And creating a safe and comfortable space where that can happen.
Right. And being able to be open to other people's, you know, opinions. Mm. Yeah, and I don't even really like that word opinion, because it makes it, you know, everybody has got such a, I'm not going to say everybody, that's a kind of a blanket statement, which I'm not fond of, but a lot of people are, you know, you mention opinion and their hackles immediately go up because they think that you're automatically going to present something that is opposite of what they're experiencing or believing in the moment.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, sure. Everybody's got an opinion and everybody loves to give their opinion and everybody thinks their opinion's right.
See, and that's where I differ. I don't think my opinion's right. Mm-hmm. I just have one.
Yeah. And I mean, I oftentimes won't take a stance with certain things because I'm like, do you know what? I don't feel like I know enough about that or I connect enough with that to have a formulated opinion. And rather than just give you some, you know, random bullshit answer, I'd rather just not say anything and just hold back. And I think maybe sometimes, I don't know, I think sometimes people read that as kind of arrogance or because I won't engage in certain conversations. It's not an arrogance. It's just, I don't want to give an opinion where I don't feel like I have one that's properly formulated.
Right. Well, I think that that can go so far as being pushed over into, you know, even political conversations. Mm. When people are, because I won't discuss stuff like that with clients. I don't have, you know, on things like that. I think it's because people are too willing to cut you off when it comes particularly to politics. And I don't have, again, this is a challenge with just, you know, and I'm okay with it, but I, you know, I have got my own things. I don't belong to any particular anything. And, you know, I just do what I think. I follow my heart and my brain. And I listen to all these things when I make decisions on things like that. And so, and you know, that's very different from most people in most democratic countries that are like party issued or party, you know, affiliated. So even when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Again, this comes back to an identity and belonging to a group, doesn't it? The symbol that we follow, the symbol that we belong to has a certain way of thinking, certain ideas. I feel safe. I feel comfortable being accepted by this group. And this is what's known to me. This is what's familiar.
Starts in high school.
Sure. It starts way before that.
Well, even before that, but it really gets solidified, I believe. Well, probably in middle school now, but I know in high school, I know here in the U.S. that, you know, you got the jocks, you've got the stoners, you've got the rockers, you've got,
well,
you know,
even
each
before
of these...
that, you know, from your family, you're being influenced by religion, right, by sports teams, by political opinions, by, you know, all sorts of things. So yeah, you're born into a world of, you know, kind of patriotism and identity attachment.
Well, I mean, that's that whole
symbol.
Tribal thing, that first chakra, that whole first chakra thing, right? I mean, that's the tribal chakra. That's our first identification. And so Yeah, that's interesting. As I'm thinking back, you know, this, I guess I've always been really, really fluid. If I really look back at, because I had a Mohawk, but I was on the equestrian team with a bunch of cowboys. I had friends in all of the different groups. I've always kind of been, you know, that kid that floated around and was just accepted in all of them and in none of them by people, right? By groups within the groups. But we were talking about fluid and flexibility, and I think that when we really discuss or when we begin to wrap it up about how it is associated with what we do and how we implement that kind of thing, I think you're right when you hit it early, when you said it earlier, that it's kind of our responsibility to help impart that to our clients. That idea of being open and you know, allowing things, it's like that NLP saying, the most flexible person or system within any system will always end up ruling the system, right? I mean, that's a presupposition that if we keep that in the forefront, then we're always ready to be able to be flexible and fluid in the way that we're doing something and be open to new ideas and ways around the wall.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. And if we follow that suggestion, of course, the reason that person always gets to have people following them is because they've always got the solution. Right.
Yeah.
So, and we've got to remember that the more flexible we are, the more solutions we have.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. And that's the reason why people would come and see a hypnotist, a hypnotherapist, even a counselor, or, you know, any kind of therapist, is to gain new perspective, right? To gain new insight, to see things from a different perspective. And so really people are coming to us for that, you know, for that guidance. They're saying, there's something I can't see. Help me see what's outside my kind of range of vision.
Like Rumi says, help me to see that which I cannot see.
Mm-hmm. And I think that really does define the work that we do and why people come to us.
Yeah.
And I think
I love Rumi.
Yeah. I think that's a really nice place to end the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for this discussion, Nicole.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been great. It's been, it's been fun. Thanks for listening, everyone. Take care.
And we'll talk to you again real soon, folks.
Thanks for listening to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast. Don't forget to leave us a review and follow us on Facebook. You can also join our mailing list at hypnotichealers.com.